Last night, Martinsville, Martin Truex Jr., the win, the ratings way up, neither was the story. NASCAR's decision to ban the Confederate flag, which started with Bubba Wallace, the lone black driver in the Cup Series, who wrapped his car yesterday in Black Lives Matter, calling out the circuit, ends with national news, ends with global news, a headline many thought they'd never read. The comments under that article, well, if you do read them, you better be ready for it. There's also a driver in the Truck Series, Ray Cicerelli, who says, that's it, I'm out. There's a lot to take in here. J.A. Adande, Woody Page, Jackie McMahon, thanks for being here. Woody, I'll start with you. You grew up watching NASCAR, grew up covering NASCAR. How do you hear we banned the Confederate flag?
It's about time, and it was appropriate, and it was a brave, bold move as far as I'm concerned. Growing up in the South, knowing that two loves in the South were stock car racing and college football, and having covered a number of NASCAR events from the Daytona 500 to a number of others, that I thought this was the right move. I was drawn throughout the race to Bubba Wallace's car, and I actually wasn't paying attention to where he was because I think the statement he made with his car that said Black Lives Matter meant more than anything else in the race, even though I'm friends with Martin Truex and have always appreciated his effort. I think that was the biggest part of the entire evening, and it seemed like it was accepted, maybe not by a lot of the people that were there, but it's the right thing to do. I grew up in an atmosphere where there were Confederate flags in my relatives' houses and my friends' houses. I lived through that situation, and I never really appreciated or understood it as a kid, but I know that NASCAR, taking this statement and this stand, is doing the right thing moving forward.
Jay, you had said earlier before we sat down that Bubba Wallace's perspective in this. Well, it's immense. Was that the word you used? Immense. Can you please start there?
It's so important. And so that's what I thought of, that he was heard. And I've thought about how alone he must feel as the only African-American racer. There's the only prominent African-American currently in the sport. And the fact that he's felt it at times. You saw him collapse in exhaustion after a previous race with all that's going on in addition to the physical demands of the race. We've seen him break down in tears at that second place finish at the Daytona 500 a few years ago because he understood what that meant. And so for him to speak out and say, get them out of here, get those Confederate flags out of here, speaking on behalf of people like him who wanted to come and feel safe and feel protected and heard at the races, and for NASCAR to support him, I think is so critical. For him to have the backing of the very top echelon of the sport and say, we hear you, we are acting on your wishes. I think it's absolutely necessary for him to get through this. I can't imagine what he's like being all alone in this position. And I was just happy for him that he was heard and that he's speaking on behalf of other people. And that voice was recognized. That desire was recognized. And the flags are gone, even though that act itself is comically overdue. But I think it's immensely helpful for Bubba Wallace. I'm thinking about the individual right here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jackie Mack, can I bring you in here?
I just think this is such a huge moment because I feel like we've been talking about the Confederate flag at NASCAR races for a lifetime. At least that's what it feels like to me. And J.A. so eloquently just explained what it must be like to be Bubba Wallace. What if you're a black fan that goes to NASCAR and you walk in and the first thing you see is that flag and what that flag means to you and how it may have related to your ancestors? And it's just so wonderful that people keep saying, you know, the other day I heard someone say to me, well, how much longer is this going to go on? Guess what? As long as it takes. As long as it takes for us to break down all these wrongs and make them right. And I think this is a gigantic step because of where NASCAR is located, because of where it is and where it's rooted, which Woody also spoke to. I think this is just a gigantic day. I really do.
Woody, can I ask you, and you spoke very eloquently again and personally, and I appreciate that, about heritage. You hear about what heritage means to NASCAR fans. Let's talk about NASCAR fans now, because they're banning a Confederate flag by NASCAR fans at race events, in the infield, wherever. When you hear the word heritage, what do you think, Woody?
Well, I think about the fact that my great-grandmother actually was alive during the Civil War, and I've heard the stories passed down over the years, and I understand from a standpoint of people I grew up with about the heritage, but that doesn't matter. It's outweighed by what happened in this country and the war that decided that slavery was going to go away. And it's up to people. I just would mention to you, Tony, on my high school senior trip, we went to a Civil War battlefield. And I kept trying to figure out what in the world are we doing this for. But it takes so long to overcome the racial aspects that exist in the South that have existed for hundreds of years, actually.
Well, there's something to be said for studying history, and then there's something, and Jay, I'll bring you in here as a professor, to what history are you teaching? What version of the history are you teaching? When you hear about NASCAR fans, did you read any of the comments, Jay? I hope you did, and I hope you didn't in a lot of different ways. But the question
well,
I want
one,
to ask here is, how is it going to be received by NASCAR fans?
Well, we've seen it. We've seen the reluctance and the resistance, but it speaks to the difficulty of the task ahead, the challenge to really instituting some type of major changes, not reforms, major changes, structural changes are needed in this country. And how are we going to address the issues at hand if we're still relitigating the Civil War? And it feels like that's what happens every time there's a discussion about the Confederate flag, the meaning of it, the history behind it, the causes of the Civil War, all of that. We're really still talking about this, something that took place in the mid-1800s. So let's move that to the side. Let's get past this. All you need to know is enough people are offended by it. And for the sport of NASCAR, if we're going to confine it to a discussion of the sport of NASCAR, this is an opportunity for the sport to grow because now, guess what? You're not excluding. You're not sending a message that this is for one set of people and their heritage. You know, maybe if you get rid of it, it's more of a symbol that this is for everyone. And again, it's one less fight to one less battle to have as we go through this major march and this major process of change that we're trying to undertake here.
Jackie, and you wanted to add to that?
I just want to add one more thing since we're talking about this. I don't want to leave out Mr. Cicerelli since we mentioned him in the open. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Nobody will miss you.
Well, I do wonder about that a little bit because it's interesting to say, that's it, I've had enough, I quit. Effective a few months from now at the end of the season and all. I mean, and I was looking just, I don't know, I'm not familiar with his work. I was looking that he is a 50-year-old driver and owner and that he has raced a couple dozen times, finished in the top 10 once. But it appears the ending of his racing career may be about a couple of things. And maybe he took this opportunity to release this statement, which said a lot of different things in different directions as well. So I'm not sure how much you can read into that. But lastly, those ratings for NASCAR yesterday, they went up. It was a very, very solid rating. They should be happy about that. We're going to take a break right here when we come back. The NBA bubble, is it bursting? In 2 minutes.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. Part of Happy Hour.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Major League Baseball's counter proposal is forthcoming. How the owners pitch it to players this time? Give it anybody's guess. Did you hear, though, Rob Manfred say he's 100% sure there will be a season this year? He told that to Carl Ravitch. He also said he has the power and right, per negotiations they had in March, to mandate the start of a season as long as he prorates salary. J.A., I'll start with you here. 100%? Do you believe he's being optimistic, hopeful, or wishful thinking and trying to will it on?
I'm buying all 100% of those shares, Tony. If he has the power to do so, if it comes to that and he wants the season, there will be a season. And I think it's getting close too. I think that's another reason he feels so optimistic and throwing such percentage out there. I mean, they've gone from 32 games apart to now 13 games apart. I think they're about 25% on the salary. So they've gotten closer. They're in the same ballpark now, even if they're still practicing social distancing within that ballpark. I think the negotiations are getting to a point where they can get a deal and he won't have to invoke that Manfred, that commissioner's power of option.
Woody Page, 100%.
As my old friend, the late Dan Jenkins, wrote, there's nothing in life that is dead solid perfect. It is not 100%. What if the second wave comes, Commissioner? What if the ownership, I'll tell you what's more closer to 100%. If he doesn't pull this off to the satisfaction of the owners, 100% sure that he's going to be without a job. So he is working for the owners against the Players Association. I don't think it's possible that they're still going to reach an agreement based on where they are at this.
And Jackie Mack?
Well, I think the 100%, and you said it in the open, is a little bit of spin. If you're Rob Manfred, you better believe with 100% certainty that you can make this happen, as what he said, your job may depend on it. And I look at this, and I hope they understand, both the players, the owners, and Rob Manfred, how damning it's going to be for baseball if you do not play this season, especially mm-hmm. now that yeah. the NBA is going to have a presence in the summertime. What a horrible time to be going through this. Have some self-awareness. And I think they
will. Well, Woody, you brought up, what if there's a second wave? That's not even in the conversation right now. So much right. of this has been about money, not about the pandemic, which is also a riddle wrapped in an enigma. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. The NBA, hearing from some players, they don't want to be in the bubble. There was a conference call yesterday. Reportedly anywhere from 40 to 50 players were on it. Possibility. The NBA could bring up replacement players to fill out rosters is out there as well. This sounds like something, Jackie. Is it something? Is it nothing? What are you hearing?
Oh, no, it's something. There were players. Matt Barnes tipped us off to it a few days ago when he said that he was talking to Laker and Clipper players who had some reservations. Now, think about it. Those are two teams that contend for the championship here. But I think what it is, it's like so often, like even in town politics, when you say, oh, I hear they might want a new fire station, but you don't go to the meeting, and then they vote in a $7 million fire station, and you say, wait, and everyone says, well, you missed the meeting. Now these players are starting to think in real time, oh, my gosh, do I want to be away from my family that long? What if I can only bring four or five in my family? All the real hardcore logistics are coming to fruition now. That's what's causing them this pause.
You say they're coming to fruition. Is it beginning to spin out? Are you hearing that?
Well, I think there's some concerns. They've misstepped twice now with the players a little bit here, and then also with the coaches, Tony, which we talked about earlier in the week, telling Greg Popovich or Mike D'Antoni that you might not be able to be near your players on the bench, which they've since walked back. How come all this wasn't figured out before you announced this return?
It's Jay, weird. You hear players, some players, maybe three dozen, are wondering about the bubble. You think what?
Yeah, things have changed. We had enough to deal with the pandemic and planning for that. And now you have the unrest and you also wonder, okay, if I'm a player, if I feel passionate about this issue, do I want to take myself out? If I feel like I need to be out there on the streets marching for this cause, do I want to eliminate that possibility because I have to stay inside the bubble? There are greater things at work, greater things going on right now than just NBA basketball. And the other thing, as Jackie alluded to, is it felt like they had the plan for the season before they had the plan for mitigating the pandemic, and that just seemed backwards.
And Woody Page?
Yes, I totally agree with him that you should have had a lot of this all worked out. It seemed like you were just rushing ahead with everything and saying, well, wait a second. What about the families of the players? What about the players? Carmelo Anthony was talking about how excited he was to get back to the playoffs, and now he's saying, I'm not so sure I'm going to report. How many players are actually feeling like that, saying, hey, wait a minute, we're not sure about this even at this point?
Sounds like you guys think there it could be spinning out just a little bit, and what was a sure thing, maybe not so sure with the NBA. That's our time right now. Take a break. Come back in 2 minutes. Can we talk about the Boston Red Sox statement? Stick around.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. Part of Happy Hour.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tory Hunter on Golic and Wingo talking about racism in and around baseball last week. He made a specific mention of having a no-trade clause to the city of Boston, having heard the N-word from fans there in the past. This led to this Boston Red Sox statement, which looks at itself starkly. Jackie, I want to bring you in here. This is a conversation that, not a new conversation. It's a conversation we've had in the past. It gets very emotional about the city that you called home for nearly all of your life. How did you read the Red Sox statement?
Well, I'm sure it's not enough for some, but the fact that they're acknowledging that, yes, this is real and it's still happening all this time later. Remember, this is the same ownership group that renamed Yawkey Way because of the racist past of the beloved Red Sox owner who was very philanthropic in the city. People have mixed emotions about it. So they're trying. Are we there? No. It makes me sad that it's still happening in Boston. But I do think it's happening elsewhere as well. But Boston has earned this reputation, and they have to find a way to be better than that and to educate.
Okay. You heard Tory Hunter. I mean, he's felt this way. He had a clause in his contract, but for him to voice it now, how do you read that?
Well, it just continues to happen. And you look at the Red Sox statement, and it reminds me of the NBA last two-minute reports when they come out the next day and they say, yeah, the ref blew the call. And the response is, and, okay, what does that change? And what does the statement change? You acknowledged it, great. What are you going to do to keep these type of things from happening so that the Red Sox don't have and their fans don't have this reputation anymore? What are you going to do to change it? The statement didn't have that.
And Woody Page.
I think Boston's one of the great sports cities, if not number one in the country. However, you have to consider the history of that city in terms of the way that Bill Russell never felt comfortable being there. The Red Sox are one of the last teams to ever sign a black player. They need to look around like everyone else and make serious changes in the way you look at life and sports.
Well, you said like everybody else, because it's not just Boston. It's Memphis, Tennessee, Woody, your hometown, Staten Island, New York, where I was born, Santa Monica, California, J.A. I mean, we can, it's everywhere. Turn the mirror to ourselves. We'll be back tomorrow.